This is In Focus, featuring interviews with our local newsmakers, information on community programs and politics, and the story on local current events. In Focus on Lake 88.
Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. Today's discussion is about climate change, and in particular about the importance of wetlands as a nature-based climate solution. Joining me is Gordon Harrison with Climate Network Lanark. Gord's commitment to a healthier planet is both personal and professional. Having worked as an educator with North American Waterfowl Management and Green Learning Canada. Hi, Gord. Nice of you to join us today.
Hello, Linda. Yes, it's great to be talking with you again, and especially at this time when Climate Network Lanark is launching its wetlands election campaign. So it's great to chat with you.
Thank you. And we will get into talking about that campaign in a few minutes. But first of all, let's discuss what are wetlands and what is their function?
Wetlands are, Lanark County is really quite rich in wetlands, despite the fact that we have lost a great deal of them. But, I mean, they're the marshes where you have, you know, water and, along the edges of rivers and lakes. They're the swamps where you've got trees and water. So it's basically any kind of wet area that has water at least some of the time of the year or all of the year. And wetlands are really important because they provide a number of ecological services. They provide water filtration. I mean, some people refer to wetlands as nature's kidneys. They provide flood and erosion control, and we know, you know, over the years, you think around whether it's Lanark Village or up along the Ottawa River, just the number of times there has been serious flood and flooding damage. They also provide habitat, and they also recharge aquifers. So they're all around, and they're really important.
Is Lanark County plentiful with wetlands?
When they look at the number of wetlands that were around in the late 1800s to now, I think the loss is somewhere around 60%. So 60% of those wetlands and all of the services they provide has been lost. That's a huge concern. I mean, we still are one of the areas when you think of, especially, well, all areas, but the north and northwest of the county, there are still lots of wetlands. So, I mean, those wetlands are still providing the services. And just to go back to what the kinds of services they're providing, it has been calculated that the dollar value of these wetland services is $15,000 per hectare per year, every single year. So that's staggering. Those are huge things, and they're things that benefit municipalities, for example. I mean, instead of repairing washed-out roads or homeowners who have been flooded out, I mean, all of those things are mitigated or reduced because of the kind of ecological services that wetlands provide. What we're trying to do right now is focus on the carbon sequestration side of wetlands. They're all important services, but particularly in regards to climate change, carbon sequestration is huge.
Now, can we talk for a second about sequestration? What does to sequester something mean for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fancy word for store. Okay. And if you go back to, you know, I think we all learned in grade 9 science, although that is a long time so, but, I mean, it's a basic thing that all plants do. So they take in carbon and they release oxygen. So, I mean, we need oxygen, so that's great. But it's the taking in of carbon, and then it's stored in their roots in the ground. And wetlands are particularly good at doing that. So if you look at, say, a wetland compared to a forest area, they're probably 2 to 5 times as efficient in terms of storing carbon as a forested area might be. So they're all important, but wetlands are really good at it. And wetlands are good at it because of the combination of water and peats and those kind of things that are just better able to retain that carbon and keep it in the ground. And so, you know, it can be released, but again, it's kept there. So it's taking carbon out of the air, and estimates say that, you know, if we protect the wetlands we have, they will pull anywhere from 11 to 12% of the greenhouse gas emissions out of the air that we need to if we're going to reach our targets. So, I mean, it's not huge. I mean, there are other things that we need to do, obviously, but it certainly is one of the things that is easy because wetlands are there. They're already doing it. We just need to protect them. So it's a significant step towards addressing climate change.
Greg, why don't we have the wetlands that we used to have?
Well, a number of reasons, and I think in many ways it's even more, they are more threatened. I mean, it's development. I mean, it's always been development. That's the primary reason. But that starts with, and what's happening now is, basically, if we don't know where wetlands are, if we haven't mapped them, if we don't know, you know, what the boundaries of that wetland are, if we don't know how water flows into it and how water flows out of it. So if we haven't mapped them and we haven't evaluated them, then we can't protect them. And unfortunately, the Ontario government has cut funding so that staff are not allowed to do any field work, which means they can't go out, they can't map them, they can't evaluate them. And without that information, then municipalities, and it's a municipal responsibility to protect important areas like wetlands in their official plans. So they have natural heritage sections of their official plans. So without that kind of information, without that mapping evaluation information, they can't get them into the official plans.
So when you talk about nature-based climate solutions, what kinds of things are we talking about?
The interesting thing about nature-based climate solutions, I guess, is, I mean, it's protecting, it's planting trees, but it's also taking the forests we have and it's protecting them, it's conserving them, keeping them healthy. It's the same with wetlands. All of those natural things, not only do they provide that carbon storage, but they also provide all of the adaptation things like flood control and all those kind of things, helping keep the temperatures cooler, especially in urban areas. All those things are well documented. And of course, then, you know, habitat and biodiversity is threatened. So it's kind of a double win if we protect them. But I think one of the things that I find fascinating is that so many of us relate very highly to nature. It's important to us. I mean, it's that whole thing of, you know, getting out in the forest and how that makes us feel. But also, I think, you know, we hear about the forest fires, we hear about the floods, and I think it's a really tangible doorway into getting people aware of what's going on in terms of climate change and helping to address it. So I think, you know, it's the actual concrete things they can do in terms of addressing climate change, but I think it's also a way that we can relate more to what's going on and therefore hopefully get more involved in addressing it.
Right. So as far as wetlands are concerned, what should we do and what should we not do then?
I think, again, it goes back to development and you know, wetlands that are being developed for, you know, housing or whatever it might be. How do we sort of reverse that? And I think that goes back to both, you know, the provincial role, the provincial government's role, as well as the municipal role. And that's why we've decided in this election to focus on wetlands as an important tool in terms of addressing climate change. And so we're working in the provincial election, which is coming up in another 4 or 5 weeks, but also in the municipal election, the same kind of thing. How do we sort of increase that awareness among those decision makers on not only why these are important, but how do we get them to say, you know, let's make sure we've got the dollars into the system so that we can do the work we need to do, so we know what lands need to be protected and how to do it.
Now, I know Climate Network Lanark, of which you are a member, you and Sue Brandon have been very, very active in that, and others as well, I understand now. So, and they're making great strides in tackling climate change in Lanark County. Talk about that for a little bit, the Climate Network Lanark as an organization.
Yeah, I mean, we're working on a number of fronts. One of the things that we've been doing, it was interesting that I know Lake 88 covered it the other day, but we've been working with the county in terms of developing their climate action plan. I think a lot of our efforts have gone there. There are many, many things that are going on, but that's been a key one. And part of what I think has been really fascinating with that is and the recent thing that happened on Wednesday at council was county council moved from kind of a one-off decision-making process to say, hey, we want to do this project, to saying that all county decisions from now on, whether that's, you know, looking for proposals to do a particular piece of work or any in-house kind of decision-making, all of that needs to go through a climate lens. So it's not just how much is this going to cost us, how much does this cost taxpayers, but what are the impacts in terms of climate change, in terms of adding greenhouse gas emissions, or conversely, or more importantly, how does it reduce greenhouse gas emissions? And so we do want to in the fall focus on the municipal decision makers. But I think that what we're doing at the provincial level right now is we're generating a number of materials, a flyer, a background around wetlands, and all of that will go to the provincial election candidates, all parties. And so we're actually starting to get that material ready, and I know that the flyer is probably, you know, ready to go to press today as we speak. And the question that we're really trying to get to the candidates is, what are they going to do when they get elected, or, you know, whoever gets elected in this riding, what are they going to do when they get to Queen's Park in terms of making sure the ministry has those resources to map and evaluate wetlands so municipalities can do what they need to do. So we'll use local media. We will get the questions out to the public that they can ask their candidates, and all of that we will publish so that the public can see, here are the whatever number of candidates are in this riding, and here's their position not only on wetlands but on climate change in general and on the environment. So it's, I mean, going back to your question about what can we do, I think there are many things, but in terms of decision-making makers, how can we really increase their understanding of why wetlands are important and their really significant role in terms of protecting these?
As well as protecting our wetlands, what else must be done then to cut carbon emissions?
Yeah, the biggest areas are around buildings and transportation. Those are the two biggest sources of greenhouse gas emissions in Lanark County. And again, through our working groups and through the work with the county, those things are being addressed. And actually, the issue that came up this week at County Council was an RFP request for proposals for contractors to change the heating systems in social housing. There are 55 different units they were looking at. So changing the heating systems, and this was what was originally in the proposal, from electricity, electric baseboard kind of heaters, to natural gas. And so that's going in the opposite direction than we need to go. Mm. And that's why, you know, I think we can say the Climate Network Lanark had a huge role in saying, wait a minute, you know, let's look at those units. Are they energy efficient? Because no matter what source of energy you're using or heating source you're using, if you're pumping half of it out into the environment, that doesn't do anybody any good. So let's look at not only are the buildings efficient and how can they be improved, but also then what is the better heating source for those buildings that is going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, not increase it. And then finally, what was, I think, really interesting is, you know, this Eastern Ontario, Eastern Canada has been targeted or identified as an area where our summers are going to get hotter and hotter. We know that. And so the advantage of something like a heat pump, which is a very efficient source of heating, is that they also provide air conditioning in summer. So people who live in social housing units not only have the better benefit of a more efficient and more climate-friendly kind of heating system, but they also get the benefit of air conditioning in the summer, which is becoming more and more of a necessity. So, yeah, we're trying to keep moving on as many fronts as we can. But what's really, I think, exciting is we have now over 900 followers, active followers, many, many active volunteers, so that I think most people get it, and they get why it's a big concern, and so it's kind of harnessing that people power to make the kinds of changes we need to make.
Gord, our connection with nature affects us all on a personal level, and I'm wondering how satisfying has it been for you, or is it for you, to put your energy and expertise into tackling climate change?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've always, you know, I think from a child, we used to have a cottage up on near Parry Sound, and I was lucky that I was there for 2 months in the summer, and just to be, you know, in the water, out in the forest, all that sort of thing is important to me, and I think it's important to all of us. And I know it's been interesting during this COVID time how, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard people say that, gee, one of the things that they found was really beneficial is to get out into the woods, go for a walk, that kind of thing. And so I think all of us find some sort of comfort, peace, quiet, calm, all those kinds of things that, you know, are very, very beneficial regardless, as well as then, of course, you know, if nature-based climate solutions are also helping to address climate change, that's sort of a double benefit. So I think that, you know, I think it's just really important for all of us, and it keeps us connected. So, yeah.
Good physically and mentally for us as well,
yep.
Like, to get out into nature.
Yep.
What can we do at the local level, and how urgent is this situation, in your opinion?
I think it's really urgent. So I think, you know, related to the wetlands campaign we have going right now that we're just launching, I think, you know, it's getting out to all candidates' meetings, and I guess we'll have to see what sort of format those take. But, you know, we hope that we can arm people with the questions that they can put to their candidates. And, you know, all candidates and all provincial parties have different platforms, but I think we want to just, in this particular campaign, is start just increasing that general awareness. I mean, it's helping all of us in the community understand why wetlands are important and why nature-based climate solutions are important. But it's also, how do we then hold our politicians to feet to the fire? And I mean, I think one of the reasons why we've addressed county council and tried to make sure that county council is on the right track in terms of addressing climate change is because they can enable major kinds of changes or system kinds of changes, those sort of broad rethinking or changing how we actually do things. I mean, each of us can try and sort of retrofit our homes or buy an electric vehicle or whatever it might be. But if the county does certain things like make sure that there are lots of EV charging stations across the county, or, you know, provide a conduit for funding so that if I decide I need to upgrade the energy efficiency of my home or get a heating pump or whatever it might be, that there is that kind of resource to support that kind of thing. So trying to make sure that things are in place that help all of this happen.
Mm-hmm. Gord, we don't have much time left, but where can people find more information about what you've been talking about with today with us?
On our website, I should know this off by heart, but it's one of those automatic things, climatenetworklanark.ca. Mm-hmm. So lots of information there. One of the things we have going too right now is, you know, getting people's support in terms of the county setting an emissions target. So that's the best place for information. And of course, there you'll find our Facebook page and can find more information on this campaign as well as all the other things that we're doing and that, more importantly, that people can do to help move on action on our climate.
Sounds good, Gordon. Thank you. for all the things you're doing at Climate Network Lanark. We appreciate all the work you do. And we'll look for that information on Climate Network Lanark. Google that and we'll get all sorts of information about the campaign and everything you've been talking about as well. I want to thank you very much, Gord, for today.
Thank you, Linda. It's always great to chat.
No problem. You're welcome.
Take care.
Thank you.
Yep.
Gordon Harrison is with Climate Network Lanark. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
In Focus on Lake 88.